under the kingship of God, the nation had security. And they had plenty as long as they obeyed the demands and the commands of God, which were not burdensome. As long as they were following God, their needs were met, they had plenty, they had security, for God always fought on their side and gave them everything they need. To obey God's covenant meant a life that was happy, as the Lord gave all that you need and so much more. But notice the key word in Samuel's description of a king. A king would not give. A king would take. You know, nothing's changed, has it? We give a percentage of every dollar we make to the government. Well, let me rephrase that. The government takes a percentage of every dollar we make. They take it before we ever get to see what we made. They take it. That's what God said would happen when you have a king. They take it. And not only that, here in Arkansas anyway, we pay money every year to the government for the privilege of owning things. They take some more. Not only that, but every time we go to the store and buy something, they take some more. That's what the government does. That's what the king does. The king takes. And there was a time when even our young men and women were drafted to serve in the military, whether they wanted to or not. They took. Before there was a king, they just gave offerings to God. Before there was a king, they just made sacrifices and made offerings to God. But now they've went from freedom to bondage, because now not only are they giving offerings and sacrifices to God, the government's taking some more of what they've got. That's what God told them was going to happen. Samuel warned them what a king would do, but they still said, "Give us a king." And in chapter 11, after Saul had done some mighty exploits, freeing the people from oppression, Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us all go to Gilgal to renew the kingdom." And so they all went to Gilgal, and in a solemn ceremony before the Lord, they made Saul king. And then they offered a peace offerings to the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites were filled with joy. They had their king, and they were filled with joy. They had their king, and they were happy. You know, it doesn't say that Samuel was full of joy. It didn't say that Samuel was happy. See, Samuel knew what was coming. He wasn't just speaking void, vain words when he told them what would happen when a king began to rule over them. But the people were happy. Happy for a time. You see, there was Saul. And then there was David. And then came Solomon. Solomon, the wisest guy who ever lived, who literally did everything Samuel said would happen. Under the rule of Solomon, the children of Israel felt the burden of a king. In fact, they felt it so much that when Solomon died and Rehoboam became king, they went to him and said, "If you'll make it easier on us, we will serve you." And of course, we know the story. He says, "Nope, you just thought my father was tough on you. I'm going to be even tougher." And the nation split. They didn't want a king. They were done with having a king. But it was too late. They had conformed to be like the nations around them. And we may wonder what this story has to do with us. Well, it's all about us. It's about who we choose to be our king. For you see, the thing is, we want a king. We do. We're not that different, much different from the Jewish elders. We want a king. But what this story tells us is it's about the sovereignty of God, the rule of God, how God is to be our king, our Lord. You know, sometimes we want what we want, even if it's not good for us. You ever notice that? Sometimes we want what we want, even though it's not good for us. And I mean, but we want it. Hey, yeah, we want it. And there's nothing doing, we're going to have it. Well, this story reminds us as individuals, as well as a community of faith, that sometimes we want our own way instead of seeking God's will in a matter or an issue. We want it. And God allows us to have it. We want it so badly we ignore the warning signs and the consequences if we get what we're demanding. In essence, what is happening is we are rejecting the sovereignty of God. We are rejecting the kingship of God to go and to live our own way and to do our own thing. We choose another because we want to be like them. We want to be like the world. You know, that's why it's important we choose our friends and choose them wisely. Because you will become like the people you hang out with. You will become like the people you admire. And if we don't choose friends wisely, we will choose to conform to the world and follow the world's ideas of what's right instead of following God's idea and laws and commands about what is right. We see it happening all over the world today, especially in our country today. The government and the media tells us that things are okay and things are this is fine and that's fine, and we're buying into it to be like the world. Our friends say this is the way to go and that's what we are to do, so we buy into it to be like our friends. Even though what we're buying into, God's word says, is wrong. Some of it even an abomination in his sight. But yet we want to be like the world. We want to be like them. And so we experience all the joy of being like them and all the happiness that we see in them. We want to see in ourselves so we conform to their way of thinking, only to find out the happiness is only for a time. Because the thing about rejecting God, the thing about sin, the happiness is just to lure us in. The happiness is just to hook us, to entrap us, to put us in bondage. Because when sin has you hooked, the joy goes away, and the addictions begin, and the struggles in life begin, and the bondage begins, but the joy is gone. Paul's word to us in Romans 12 is so important. He said, "Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." See, as a follower of Jesus, we are not meant to be like the world. We are not meant to conform to the ideas of the world. We are not to buy into what the world says is right. We are to buy into what God says is right, even when that goes against what the world says. We need God to continue to transform our minds so that we will know His will, His perfect will for our lives. Because just as Israel faced the dangers of conforming to the nations around them, we face the same dangers of conforming to the world and the people who are around us. See, the question always comes down to who or what will be sovereign in your life? Who or what will rule your life? Are we willing to allow God to be sovereign? To be our king? It was the question for Israel, and it's the question for us as well. Our rejection of God may not come in the form of what we might call outright rejection or outright sin. You know, there's those things they are sin, and we stay away from those, but sometimes we're trapped to compromise in other ways. You see, we can reject God. It can come in the form of nationalism. We really see that happening in our world today, in our country today. The temptation of nationalism is to try to take sovereignty from God. Now, don't get me wrong this morning. I'm glad I'm a citizen of this country. But I'm not an American Christian. I'm a Christian who just happens to be American. My country is not the sovereign rule of my life. God is. But too many today are letting the government or some political system take the role that God deserves and God Himself has provided for us. And we've come to the place we trust the government to care for us and to rescue us and to provide for us, to send us another check, to do this, to do that. And we look to the government to be our Savior instead of turning to God in prayer for Him to be our Savior, for Him to rescue us from wherever it is we may find ourselves, for Him to care for us. You know, when our candidate is not elected, we get all bent out of shape because the country's just going to pot. The country went to pot before anybody got elected. Because God's not sovereign. You see, our hope is not built on loyalty to a country. Our hope is not built on loyalty to a candidate. Our hope is not built on loyalty to a president. I don't care who the president is. Our hope is built on the sovereignty of God and His rule in our heart and our life. Us following Him and not conforming to the way of the world. Our trust and our hope is to always be in God. He is to be sovereign. He is to be our King. Jesus set the example for us. Jesus revealed to us the sovereign rule of God in His life and in His work. God's power and God's authority were embodied in Jesus. And Jesus demonstrated God's sovereignty and His submission to the will of God when He taught us to pray, "May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, maybe we need to start praying that a little bit more today. God, may your kingdom come and your will be done. Right here, right now, where I'm at. Jesus set the example of submitting to the sovereignty of God by demonstrating obedience to the will of God. And folks, there's where it comes down to. Whatever is sovereign in your life, whatever it is ruling your life, that is what you will obey. That's who you will follow. And if God is sovereign and God is your King and you're following God, then you're going to obey God. Your life is going to reflect that you obey God. You're not going to be doing things you know to be sin and knowing to be wrong. Because God is your King. God is your Lord. You know, when God is sovereign in our life, He is the King in our life. And what that looks like, it looks like there are no other gods before Him. Well, we keep that commandment. God's first in our life. There's nothing before Him. It looks like submission to His will and to His plan. Not my will, but your will, God, be done in my life today. It looks like our life controlled by the Spirit of God, not by our selfish, self-centered plans and ideas. It's not about what I want, it's about what the Spirit wants and how He directs me to go and to live my life. It looks like a life that honors God and brings glory to Him as we trust Him with life and everything in it. See, like Samuel, we go to Him in prayer. We can avoid some very distressing and sometimes catastrophic outcomes if we would just simply listen to God's voice, seek God's will in the first place, instead of trying to be like everyone else. instead just being what God has called us to be. And so I ask you, who's your king? Who's sovereign in your life? Who's ruling? Who are you trusting with your life? Who are you trusting? Yourself, someone else, some government, something, or God? Jenny Hussey penned it this way. She said, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. I want to suggest to you this morning that maybe in all of our lives, we need to find our way back to Calvary. We need to find our way back to what it is Jesus demonstrated for us and showed us what Jesus did for us at Calvary. And again, crown him king of our life. Because the truth is, there are a lot of kings out there. But there's only one sovereign. There's only one sovereign king. There's only one who has proven himself to be true. There's only one worthy of our total allegiance. And he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the one true living God. And his name is Jesus. And so I ask you, who's the king of your life? Who are you living for? What are you living for? Really, when you answer that question, you answer the question as to who is king. We're to live for Jesus. We're not to conform to the world. And we are to continually crown Jesus king of our life. Who is your king? Dear God, this morning, it is so easy for us to get trapped up, confused. And begin to conform to the ways of the world around us. To even begin to say that things that you have said are wrong, to believe the world and say they're not wrong. They're okay. It's easy for us, dear God, to begin to follow a popular path instead of traveling the narrow road that you said would be required for us to get to heaven. Dear God, this morning, I pray that you would lead us back to Calvary. I ask this morning, dear God, that we would cast our eyes upon your thorn, the thorns that are on the brow of your head. I ask that you would help us to see there's only one true king, and that is you. And that anything else we choose is not good for us. It's not going to lead to happiness. It's not going to lead to a life of joy. But anything outside your will is going to lead us to a life of heartache and despair. Dear God, draw us back to yourself today. And may we see afresh and anew our sovereign God. And may we allow you, dear God, to rule our life. To make us different. To transform us, dear God, into your likeness, into your image. Dear God, may we crown you king of our life. And may it be so. We pray and ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Trust that you'll have a good week. Go forth keeping